episode 91, Steamroll the Competition. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the ChatGPT Report. I'm your host, as always, Ryan. I'm excited to bring you the latest AI news in less than 15 minutes, even though if you've listened for the past few weeks, it's been more closer to 20, but forgive me, from a normal person. Remember, I'm as normal as they come. So, what is going on today? First, as always, let's do a quick ad break so that we can get Ryan closer to his potential house for all you longtime listeners.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, so what's going on today? Small news, as always. We always cover a couple small news item topics. Then we get into why we need more skepticism in AI. Is Adobe in trouble? And finally, Sam Altman has some thoughts, as always. But before that, before we get to the small news, rate and review and subscribe to this podcast so you won't miss a new episode every week on Thursdays with interviews every Monday. I haven't had one in a while, but we've got a couple coming up. Not next week, but in the following couple weeks, we got a couple. Follow on LinkedIn and X at ChatGPT Report, the purple logo. And please send an email, thechatgptreport@gmail.com. No spaces. If you'd like to be interviewed or you just have something to say. And finally, Daisy Chain was last month's sponsor. If you'd like to be the lead sponsor for a month, give this show a holler and I'll let you know the pricing. Thank you. All right. I said all right, and then I had to hit the cue here. But we go to small news items first. Is Grok overtaking newsletters? I found myself more and more going to X and using Grok and giving it. It's giving me the latest AI news, just any news, not just AI news, but anything. Is this killing newsletters and the business of that and the newspaper? I think it actually does a little bit. And by newspaper, I mean, you know, you've been scrolling a lot, but Grok, you can at least get all the headlines there pretty quick. So I think it's putting a wound into some newsletters. You got to have a good newsletter now to stand out, I think. In dumber news, the ChatGPT logo has changed. There's a lot of hoopla and tinfoil hat reading from that, but I think it's just a design change. So there's that. Next, Humane AI had some scathing reviews with their AI pin, especially from a YouTuber, and most people know his name, Marquise Brownlee. I won't dive into the details because it was all over the news this past week, but the AI pin, the AI pin from Humane, which we covered a couple months ago, just didn't hit it off, and it had a lot of flaws that basically a phone can do, so why would you really give up the screen? And I've said this before, but they've got work to do. And their head is in the right direction. I'm hopeful for their next products coming down the line. But this one, I don't think is going to be as good as a lot of people were hoping. Next, actually, is another pretty tough review. Devin AI, which was an autonomous artificial intelligent or AI assistant tool created by Cognition Labs, branded as, quote, AI software developer. And I covered that as well. We kind of talked about it because there was a big hoopla about it. And apparently it isn't good either. I've attached a YouTube video that discusses it deeper. And I'm not very technical, but I think the techies would enjoy the video. It's from this guy, the Internet of Bugs. He did about 20 minutes, and he just kind of runs over it and discusses why it's not even a real thing. So that's pretty sad, as always. To my final point here, overall, I've said it over and over and over again, we need to practice more skepticism from AI tech, as you can see from the two examples here. Now, that's all the small news. Now, who are the creators of the week? Well, I have two this week. I have one that goes to Taylor Gam on X, and he created an AI intro for the band Nothing More and their new song, House of Sand. Really cool video. Well done, Taylor. It was awesome. He did the AI imagery for the opening of the song, and I'll tag that as always because you don't want to hear me talk about it because this is a podcast, and let's be honest, you can't see it. So take a look at that. I'll have that on X as well as I will tag that on the bottom of this when I post the episode. So congratulations for being the creator of the week. And secondly, our second creator of the week is Kyrannio, or @KYRANNIO on X as well. And she created for Grimes at Coachella her intro with Midjourney and then utilized Final Frame AI to create the video. It's a sweet video, some great work. Again, you'll be able to see all these on the show notes as well as when I post it on X. Really cool stuff. I was really enjoying it. And this is what I love. You know, you have a lot of people complaining about how AI is taking over people's jobs, but then you have Taylor and Kyrannio coming out and utilizing the tech to their advantage and creating some epic masterpieces for artists, and they're getting commissioned to do it. Well done to the two of you guys. It was super cool to see that type of stuff because, again, these people were already creators, and then these AI Midjourneys and these AI text images, imagery and the tech that has come out from this just kind of has shot them forward even more. They can do more. So really stoked there. Love it. Congratulations, guys, and keep creating. I love following you guys now. You guys are new followers. I'm following you guys as of now, and I am really, really enjoying what you guys are putting out there. So keep creating, team. All right, I've got a couple bigger news items here. We talk about Adobe. A lot of you know Adobe Firefly, which is an AI image generator, and we've heard about it marketed as a more ethical alternative to rivals like Midjourney. And it has been found to incorporate images generated by these competitors in its trading data, despite public claims focusing solely on using Adobe's own stock images. This revelation uncovered in an online discussions and reported by Bloomberg highlighted a pretty big discrepancy among Adobe's stated ethical AI practices and its actual sourcing strategies. Now, Adobe had previously touted Firefly as a commercially safe option trained on vast collections of licensed and public domain content. However, internal sources and disclosed messages on Adobe's Discord channel reveal that about 5% of Firefly's training data set included AI-generated images from other companies. Now, it's pretty much sparked a pretty internal debate and criticism from AI ethics experts. Didn't know there were those out there. Are these like people that comment on AI, or are these real ethical experts? I don't know. Anyway, they have criticism from them over the transparency and the true ethical nature of Adobe's AI model. The controversy raises significant questions about the use of copyrighted materials in AI training and the broader implications for creators and consumers in the fast-evolving AI landscape. Adobe has not publicly addressed these findings. And to be honest with you, if you've been in the AI space at all, we talk about, you know, we just listened to those two scathing reviews from Devin and Humane AI where their marketing teams killed and the actual product wasn't that good. When an AI company says they're ethical, what do they mean by that? Is it just some jargon word they're using to make you feel all special about it? And I know 5% really isn't a lot, but when you're touting, hey, we are ethical, we don't use any stocked images, we're using our own stuff, and then you go and use someone else's, that's not ethical. So not a big fan of this. I think what this is making me is when I first got into the AI space, it was, wow, this is incredible. Look what it can do. Because I was kind of brainwashed with ChatGPT because You got, I don't remember anyone ever being like, look at all the demos of this. It was just, you used ChatGPT and it was incredible when you first used it. You guys know that first time you used it. I know the first time I used it. It was like finding the internet. It was incredible. But now all these companies are wrapping around the GPTs and the Midjourneys of the world, because Midjourney, I've said it over and over again, is the king of text image. And they're touting it as their own thing and like, oh, look at this cool demo. Look what we can do. Just trying to sell something that they really haven't created. So not a huge fan of this now, you know, and I mentioned here, I have this written here. It says, you know, is this how it's going to be now? Just AI overlapping another AI. I'm not a big fan of Adobe anyways, because I think it outprices the smaller guys as well. I think it's a little expensive. It always has been. Anyway, now, so is this how it's going to be? You know, AI is reading AI and training itself on AI that came out from AI, because AI is now AGI. Wait, what? And finally, Sam went on a podcast called The 20-Minute VC, and the big soundbite that came from that interview was that Sam Altman on Will AI Startups Be Killed by OpenAI? That was one of the big discussions there. And there are two strategies that he says to build on AI right now. He says the assume the model won't improve, and then he also says assume OpenAI will stay on the same growth trajectory. 95% bet on number two. We have a mission to improve the model, so we will steamroll you. Whew. Sounds like they're doing something over there. And again, I mean, he's got a point. Like, a lot of these groups kind of wrap their AI around OpenAI, and then, you know, they're hoping they do better, or they just kind of go out on their own and think, oh, OpenAI can't do any better. So I agree with him on that sentiment. But if you want a quick summary of the episode, or so you can go listen to it, I did do that for you here. So basically what he talks about in this 40-minute summary with this interview is the conversation revolves around the journey and strategies of building OpenAI, primarily between Sam Altman and Greg Brockman. And initially they discuss the different approaches to AI development. One assumes that AI models will stagnate, leading to building various applications on top of them, while the other strategy anticipates continuous improvement on AI models. Altman suggests that most startups have adopted the former strategy, but OpenAI is committed to the latter, believing in the potential of AI's trajectory and the importance of continually enhancing models and tooling. Altman and Brockman then delve into the origins of their partnership and OpenAI's inception. They reflect on the early days when the deep learning started showing promise and the conviction they had in the potential of AI, despite skepticism from others. Don't give me too big of words here. Their partnership grew organically as they recognized the unique qualities of OpenAI, such as its capabilities and continuous improvements with scale, setting it apart from other projects they were evaluating. Brockman's transition from helping recruit to joining OpenAI full-time underscores his belief in its mission and potential impact to the world. Moreover, they discuss decision-making processes within OpenAI, focusing on alignment, prioritization, and delegation. Altman also emphasizes the importance of being aligned to the most critical objectives and making strategic decisions while acknowledging the myriad small decisions that collectively drive progress. They also touch upon challenges like compute resources availability and the commoditization of AI models, envisioning a future where AI becomes widely accessible and inexpensive. Overall, the conversation highlights OpenAI's commitment to pushing the boundaries of AI while navigating the complexities of technological advancements and business strategy. So if that sounds something interesting, please tune into that. I, again, will have that linked on the show for you to take a look at. But really good discussion there. I hope you tune into it. And that is also why the episode artwork is a steamroller, because Sam thinks if you don't believe in them, they're going to steamroll you, which I can agree with. Thanks for listening, as always. I kept it close to 15 minutes there, so you're welcome. Have a good week. Have a good weekend. Let's see what we get into next week. Excited for you. Excited for me. Excited for everybody in AI right now. See you later.